We were singing that song before, old and feeble, and I was thinking, how am I going to get up the stairs? And how am I going to make it? It's great. I got to tell you, I've really enjoyed, have you been enjoying our series about following Christ and going deeper with God? I tell you, it's a great journey, and I've been preaching over 20 years now, and I'm still excited and passionate how God continues to make us right through the blood of Jesus Christ. Just amazing. I mean, how can this do anything but make us better? Amen? Wow, that's great. Well, we're going to continue our series by discovering confidence. I believe if anybody wanted something more than likely it would be confidence. I mean, people just want to be confident. And most people who are confident usually are grounded in Christ rather than in themselves. That's really the foundation of this morning. But I want to share with you, I want to start by explaining to you. I used to, my voice is cracking, excuse me. I'm losing my confidence. I was asked a number of years ago to actually be the MC for Festival of the Stars, which was a big, huge event in the community. And when I was asked, I must say there was trepidation involved on my part. And so they told me, they said, well, you can meet with your predecessor who would do this and did a very, very good job. He was exceptional at leading the Festival of the Stars, which, you know, really did me really well. So I met with him, and as I sat across from him, we were having coffee, and in his deep radio voice, he said, well, you're about to embark upon a wonderful experience. Everyone from the community will be there, focused on you, and how you lead that evening will be a success or a failure. So when I regained consciousness, I said to him, how do I progress this? How do I go about this? He said, well, I've taken the opportunity to hand you the notes for the Festival of the Stars of how you can lead that evening. And he handed me about 5 sheets of paper. And he said, and when you talk, talk like this, very deliberately. So I started reading what he had written, and he wrote something to this effect, welcome to our evening. I trust you're all excited about the Festival of the Stars. It's been quite a week. Hasn't it? And, you know, and he quizzed me through it. You know, he kept, read a little bit more. No, there's got to be more diction here. I sat with this man for 2.5 hours. I don't know why I did it. I really, now I got the Nixon shake. And I got up to the platform that evening to welcome everybody to the Festival of the Stars. And I stood up and I said, and I was shaking. I was behind the lectern, and I was visibly shaking. I knew I was, because I was extremely nervous. And I said, welcome to our Festival of the Stars. 1, 2, 3. I can't do this, I said. I can't do this. I want to welcome you here today to the Festival of the Stars. It's been quite a week, hasn't it? Do you realize what happened at that moment? I got confidence in Christ to be me. Do you see the difference? I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because I want you to see this today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1,
beginning in verse 25.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man's wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than man's strength. Brethren, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. May God add his blessing to his word. You can actually all go home because that says it all. But I'll add some more. Confidence is knowing God's wisdom. It's in knowing God's wisdom. Verse 25, this is because the foolish thing that has its source in God is wiser than men, says the Amplified. The question is, what is your source in today? What is your source in? Is it in what other people tell you you should do, who sit in front of you and say, you got to get the right diction, you got to say it in this way, you got to lower your voice, you got to change who you are? That's the foolish things of the world. Become somebody that you're not, so that you have confidence. See, we might as well admit that we all do silly things from time to time. I'm not going to say foolish because my mother used to say, that's a foolish thing. I'm not going to go down that road. But have you ever done something and after you've done it, you go, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why am I like this? I wish I could be like that person. I wish I could say the right things. I wish I could do the right things. Those are foolish things. We need to have our source in God, who is wiser than humankind. And the weak things that springs from God is stronger than any person. Somehow, along the way, we start to discover better really who we are. And it could happen for you this morning. You could actually start today by having confidence in really who you are. Look at this video, and I'll need the lights off because you've got to see this. This is incredible. It's a great video. I want you to get this picture. Go ahead. It's coming. Oh, there it is. See? It's right there.
I'm the greatest hitter in the world! Strike one. I'm the greatest hitter in the world! Strike two.
You get it? us want to be the greatest hitter when really we're the greatest pitcher. We try to fit the mold that somebody else has for us. You get what I'm saying? That's foolishness. Nothing builds your confidence better than doing God's will in your life. No matter who you are, no matter what you know, no matter what you do, God will use you somehow, some way, and you can either fight Him and do your own thing and be miserable, or you can simply listen to God's wisdom and do it His way and enjoy your life. Nothing builds your confidence better than doing God's will in your life. Nothing. That's why I love this verse. Brethren, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many of you were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Now hold on to that thought for a moment and go up to verse 19. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. I love that passage. It's great. I will baffle, says the Amplified. I will render useless and destroy the learning of the learned and the philosophy of the philosophers and the cleverness of the clever and the discernment of the discerning. I will frustrate and nullify them and bring them to nothing. Nothing. You know what he's saying? You better not think you're better than anybody else because you've got it. You better not think you know it all. You know what? God tries to get us to the point where we realize we're everything in Christ and nothing in ourselves. So back to the question. What is your source? As long as you think that you're something in yourself, God will have to keep allowing you to meet yourself until you finally realize that apart from Him, you are nothing. Believe me, God will go out of His way to let you know that we are nothing. What? See, I'm full of encouragement. You come here, I encourage you. You're going to leave today and you're going to go, wow, was that ever great? I'm nothing. Oh, it's awesome. People who think they're nothing, they think that's terrible. So they get real down on themselves. And let me just tell you, they don't have the right understanding of being nothing in yourself so that you can be everything in Christ Jesus. I am nothing. But in Christ, I am something. You are something. Let me tell you that. Everyone in this place is something. You are a somebody. And you are important and special to Jesus. You get that? Say, I am somebody. See, you all think you are. Just joking. No. See, we say that we walk by faith and not by sight, but really what that means is we need to start exalting the Word of God above how we are feeling. I don't feel right. That's why it's so important for you, even in the midst of feeling absolutely rotten and miserable, you need to say, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. You need to commit scriptures, like these scriptures, to memory so you can just pull them out and you can say, you know, God deliberately chose. He selected, says the Amplified. God selected. He deliberately chose. Now, that doesn't mean that we don't strive in Christ to overcome our weaknesses. We should strive Him more because He did select us. We were chosen. It doesn't mean we go around being weak on purpose. I'm so weak. I can't do that. It doesn't mean that. But the whole good news is that you don't have to hate yourself because you are weak in areas. You don't need to be mad at yourself anymore because you're weak. You don't have to be embarrassed. See, when I sat with that man across the table from me, I was feeling so insecure. I lacked the confidence to really be who I was. And I was feeling a sense of embarrassment that I even was asked to do the Festival of the Stars. Do you realize that the Festival of Stars was about a 3-hour and 10-minute program? It was huge. Did you know that when I emceed it, it was just about an hour and a half? And they asked me back. Wow, we've never had it so short. Can you come back the next? You know? Because I really didn't have much to say. I know, I was a preacher and didn't have much to say. It was really, you know, kind of embarrassing. But it wasn't. I was me. I had confidence. Because I was me. I was comfortable with who I am. But God chose, verse 27, the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. God chose nothing. I tell you, that'd be worth reading about 100 times. In other words, God is saying, there's all kinds of people out there that are qualified and capable and able, and I could pick one of them, but if I did, I wouldn't get the glory. They would. Because they think they're something. So on purpose, God says, I go around and I look around, God says, and I choose somebody that just can't hardly even believe that I would dare to use them or do any good through them. That's why you know the story. When I was in grade 6, they put me in a class for those who were kind of slow. And I don't mean slow talking. It's because I keep getting myself mixed up when I'd read, and you know, because I don't know if it was kind of a form of dyslexia. I used to say, like I said to you last week, that I'd say, you know, couldn't talk right, and I'd say things like mug for gum when I was a kid, and you know, things like that, and yet God says you're gonna be preaching. You're going to be talking in front of people. Don't you think I thought, man, you're crazy. I can't even read. I mean, don't get me wrong, I can read now. Don't. You're all going, why doesn't read? He doesn't read. What kind of pastor doesn't read? I read, believe me, I study, I learn, but confidence occurs when you can truly have confidence in not yourself, but you have confidence in the one who knows yourself better than you do. And that's God. When you know you're a nothing and God is everything, then he makes you something, and then you have the confidence that is only found in him. And who gets the glory in that? God. The Bible says that God created everything that we see out of nothing. So therefore, he obviously likes to create out of nothing. Getting it? Now, you know what? You can get real proud of being nothing. I'm not talking about that in a wrong way, but God says if you finally come to meet yourself and see what nothing you are, let me throw this in here. Normally when God begins to use you, even though you may start out knowing that you are nothing and you're so amazed that God is using you, you have to continually be careful, because if you see God doing anything through you at all, then what can happen if you're not careful, if you're not guarding your nothing, understanding, so you start thinking you're something. Oh man, am I something? I'm something. You know? Me, that little guy had it right. I'm the greatest preacher in the world. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when they started saying to me, when the committee met for the Festival of Stars, and they said, wow, it's only an hour and a half. Oh, that was sweet. You know, I was like, oh. Yeah. And then I thought, wait a minute. That's really probably not a good thing. Hour and a half? Maybe I didn't say enough, you know? And you start kind of questioning. But God keeps you in a place where he reminds you that, remember, you're nothing. Apart from me, you're nothing. You're nothing. You see why God has to keep constantly at work with us to always keep us in that place where he can use us. Always must. So confidence is knowing God's wisdom, but it's also knowing God's glory. Look at this, verse 29. So that no one may boast before him, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Now, you're all going to agree with that today. I mean, everybody does. You'll agree. Yeah, I'm going to boast in God. I boast in the Lord. Yeah, that's my life. Until you leave. You're back in your routine tomorrow. You'll slip at some point this week into your own self-glory. Unless you learn not to. Unless you condition yourself to really embrace this and say, it's not anything, it has nothing to do with me. Everything to do with God. I boast in him. You need to look at these verses and remind yourself. You will so enjoy these verses. Therefore, as it's written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. The one thing God is not going to put up with is for us to do anything right and take credit for it. So he's trying to get this point across in 1 Corinthians. He's trying to get the point across that anybody who has any kind of pride at all, it has got to be in Christ, and you've got to give all the credit to him. All the glory goes to him, because we cannot do one thing that has any worth at all apart from Christ. Apart from me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Faith is deliberate confidence in the character of God, whose ways you may not understand at the time. But you have the confidence in knowing the one who does understand. It's important to memorize these kind of words. Words of worth and direction in your living, and you need to pray where God is leading you. I mean, I've caught myself many times. I mean, Satan is putting up roadblocks, or Satan's, you know, the devil is causing this to happen to me, or he's discouraging me, or he's preventing me from being all I can be. And here's the words of wisdom for you today. I go so deep, okay? Stop it! Don't allow Satan to be glorified in all the bad stuff that happens to you, because you feel like he is in your way. I have a question. Do you believe that God is more powerful than Satan? Huh? Can God defeat the roadblocks in your life? You better believe he can. I'll tell you that God often uses the roadblocks that Satan has set up in my life to get me going down a better path. Never used to think that. Until I realized one day that my source, my only source in this life, is not found in anything else, but only in Christ my King. Where's your source? Where's your source? I mean, doesn't the flesh have a tremendous desire to feel proud about itself? I mean, don't we find that we're always wanting... I mean, don't you... I mean, I sense sometimes with my flesh. I mean, I'm just wanting to get a little bit of credit, just some way, somehow, get a bit of credit. And it's great. I mean, the Love One Another Project, we have to compliment each other. Don't get me wrong. We need to encourage one another. We need to build with each other. We need to stimulate one another. That's important. But I want to give you an example. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this. It's never stopped me before. So here it goes. I have wonderful kids. I mean, Nathan and Felicia are great, and my wife, Joan, I am so blessed. I wonderful kids. They've turned out great, and that's considering who I am. But that's pride, by the way, if I believe that. But I don't. I'm just saying it as a joke. But I recall a time, number of years ago, the kids were outside playing. How many of you have ever played outside? Anyway, yeah. I feel sorry for the rest of you. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Broaden your horizons. Get outside. And they were playing outside, so out there, where was it? Oh, yeah, they were playing outside. They're having a great time, and they noticed our neighbor, you know, in the next yard, and we had one of those fences, good neighbor fence, have you ever had? You know, where you can climb all over. They're great for kids, you know. You can climb all over, you can go on the other side. It's great. But they saw her, and they noticed her sitting in her chair. She's a widow. Nice lady. Pulled our weeds when we weren't home, because she hated them, made sure that she pulled them. She wanted our garden clean, and it was always clean. It was great. We just thought it was a blessing from God. Oh, look at our garden, it's magically clean. One day, Joan said, did you weed the garden? I almost said yes, but, you know. The kids were outside playing, and they noticed that she was just sitting there, not doing anything. And Nathan said to Felicia, or so the legend goes, "She looks bored. We're having fun." I mean, Nathan was like 6 at the time, and Felicia was 4. "We're having fun, and she's just sitting there." And Felicia, nodded her head, agreed. And pretty soon they went into her yard. We didn't even know this. Walked right up to her. And Nathan said, "Hi, Mrs. Davidek." She said, "Oh, hello." And Nathan said, "We're having fun today. Are you having fun today?" To which Mrs. Davidek said, "Well, I suppose so. If you call sitting in a chair fun." And Felicia said, "That ain't no fun. We always have to sit in a chair when we do something wrong. Did you do something wrong?" Hey, don't question our parenting skills, okay? Don't. She said, "Did you do something wrong?" And Mrs. Davidek kind of started to smile. "No, I didn't do anything wrong. I just didn't have anything to do." And then Felicia, 4, wisdom beyond her years, said, "Well, I think you need something to do." Mrs. Davidek said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, I'd give you something to do." Mrs. Davidek leaned forward, "Want to hear a little bit better?" And Felicia said, "You can get us some ice cream from inside your house." I completely forget why I was telling you that story. Actually, there is a point. Mrs. Davidek, she brought Nathan and Felicia back home, and I mean, we didn't even know that they were missing. Now, remember, don't question our parenting. And Joan, my wife, she answered the door, and I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I couldn't see, but the door was open, and she answered the door, and she heard these words, "Joan, you have wonderful children. They made my day. You certainly should be proud for how you have raised your kids. They're little darlings." And I sit at the table, and I was fighting off the desire to take credit for our wonderful kids. I wanted Mrs. Davidek to know I am the father of these wonderful children. I mean, I don't think that too many people listening are very different, right? You're not different. It's just that I have the job of standing up here exposing myself to everybody. Sometimes we are so out of contact with what's going on in us. When that kind of stuff happens, we're not even aware it's happened. It's like, I mean, every time we turn around, we're trying to steal credit, get a little glory, you know, want to get the credit, steal a little glory. Tell them something so they'll think I'm great. You know what all that comes from? Still needing more revealing on who we are in Christ and following Jesus. See, we don't need any attention to be great in God's eyes. We don't need credit to be great with Him. We don't need to boast and be proud of ourselves to be great with God. We would be so much better off if we would just learn the best that we can do is give for Him, with Him, and to Him. And give credit to others. See other people soar. One little credit, you know, I had a part in those wonderful kids. Had a part in that person's salvation. It was my idea to do that. It wasn't theirs. It was my plan all the time. It was my purpose, not their purpose. I was the one who gave that suggestion. They stole the words right out of my mouth. What is your source? What's your source today? You ever had trouble like that? After all, we live on feelings, don't we? I believe we do. We live from feeling to feeling to feeling instead of following. We need to follow Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And when we follow Him, He gives us complete confidence in who we are. Because we know Him. And He loves us just the same. in knowing us. Let's pray. You know, folks, there is no reason for Christians to be miserable. There's no reason for us to be miserable, no matter what happens around us, within us, or to us. Because we believe God. And maybe you need to say today, God, I believe you. I believe you, God. Maybe you need to say, I am blessed. I am happy. And maybe you need to just, say, God, I'm glad you chose me. Maybe you need to listen so you can hear your name as he calls it. And as he whispers in your ear and says, you are somebody. You truly are somebody. You are a chosen child of God with God's confidence in you. Father, this morning, we can't live apart from you. We can. We can go down a path that Lord, just creates within us that whole idea that we got to be better, we got to be the best. And Lord, in that's not wrong. It's not wrong to be best. It's not wrong to do better. But Lord, it's our attitude behind it. It's our attitude, God. And so today, I don't know where you need to work here, whether here or those listening or through the internet, God. I just pray, God, that your spirit will work so that everyone who's hearing this today would place their confidence in you. And God, that you would empower them to be who they need to be. That they would go where they need to go, where you call them to go, where you, Lord, desire for them to be in their relationship with others, with you, and with themselves. Thank you, God, that we're chosen, that you choose us, that we can have such confidence in knowing that we're chosen by you. No matter what, you love us. To that we marvel, and we're grateful and thankful. And we praise your holy name. It is to the name Jesus that we humbly bow and confess you are Lord. Amen. I want you to stand up, please. And I want you to just shake hands with three people and say, congratulations, you're a chosen child of God, and God's confidence is in you.